Well, I don't know about you, but our garden is under a tarp and our counter is filled with green tomatoes. In fact, the church garden was bountiful with them. If you like green tomatoes, I can get you a really good deal on some down by the office. Over at our house, every year we plant a zucchini and a tomato plant, and we enjoy them throughout the summer. We also have some strawberries that Joey enjoys. Some years we have more food than we know what to do with, as some of you have found when you've left your cars unlocked and we put zucchini on your driver's seat. Some years, though, like this one, by the time the plants really start producing, the weather hits them and we just don't see as much. Now, I know in our congregation we have some gardeners who are just phenomenally knowledgeable and have a sixth sense for plants. They can look at a plant and just make it do amazing things. That's not us. We keep them alive some years. But even in our simple efforts of having a garden, I love having one. You see, we as a society, we have become so separated from the origins of the things that fill our lives. I mean, there was a time people knew the person who built their house, and they even helped with it. You know, there was a time folks would attend a church like this, and the person who made their shoes sat in a pew nearby them. There was a time your kids would go play with the kids of the person who butchered your meat that came from a farm of somebody you knew. Nowadays, our products are made a world away, half of them by metal hands. And our food, unless you put great intention and expense behind it, our food comes from countries several borders away, farms that aren't even owned by people, but by corporations. And we have just become so separated from the process of creation and growth. And having a garden, even if you're not good at it like me, having a garden ties us to this heritage of growing and tending. You know, there was a time when everyone grew food. Every home had a garden, if not fields to call their own. And it was such a time and reality in which Jesus lived and taught. And I tell you, Jesus, even though he grew up in the house of a carpenter, Jesus would have been out there helping tend the plants. Jesus would have come in with dirt under his nails from helping his mother prepare dinner by pulling things out of the ground and weeding a little bit. What an amazing human experience to think about. That's how he grew up. And that's why so many of Jesus' stories talk about plants. If you're flipping through the New Testament, every other story Jesus tells is about a plant. And it's because they were such a common presence and shared reality of his day. You see, Jesus told stories, the parables as we call them. He told these stories to offer a common and shared resource that as he sought to inform people, he would use things they knew and understood. So Jesus didn't speak in fancy poetry or religious vocabulary. Instead, Jesus talked about everyday experiences. Now, I do know we have a couple poets up top, and I do know that ordinary everyday experiences can make great poetry. I'm there with you. Okay. But we hear these ordinary everyday experiences in Matthew 13. As Matthew says, Jesus told them another parable. Hear these words. The kingdom of heaven is like someone who planted good seeds in their field. While they were sleeping, someone came and planted weeds among the wheat and then went away. So that when the stalks started sprouting and bore grain, the weeds also appeared. So the servants came to the landowner and said to them, Master, didn't you plant good seeds in your field? Then why does it have weeds? An enemy has done this, the landowner replied. So the servants said to them, Do you want us to go and gather it all up? But the landowner said, No, because if you gather the weeds now, you'll pull the wheat along with it. So let both grow side by side until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will say to those harvesting, first gather the weeds and tie them together in bundles so we might burn them, and then bring the wheat into my barn. This is traditionally called the parable of the wheat and the tares, because tares are a type of weed. So more commonly, it's just called the wheat and the weeds. And for centuries, there was a strong dogma of eternal punishment that allowed this parable to be interpreted as a warning. that when the end was near, those who were not bringing forth goodness would be gathered up and thrown into the fire. We had a lot of self-righteous biblical interpreters who saw themselves as the wheat, and they were more than willing to label anyone they didn't think was good enough as weeds, so that they might be gathered up and others would be sent to burn. You see, they had this idea that in the end, not ushered into pearly gates, but instead they would be gathered into God's good barn, the big red doors opening for them. But that's not how I hear this parable. I find the story of Jesus to have enough room for another interpretation. An interpretation that invites us to do more than think about the end of life. Instead, we are invited right here and right now to tend to the garden of our lives. What if instead of the field in the story being the whole world and each plant being a person, what if each and every one of us was a field of our own? The different parts of who we are, the ways we act, the choices we make, our interactions, the reactions we have to what's happening in the world around us, all of those various parts of us growing in our life. What I want us to hear from this parable is that there aren't people who are just wheat and people who are just weeds. I want us to recognize that we all carry that within us. Honestly, if our lives are this field, the enemy that shows up is just temptation. We encounter temptation in our lives all the time. Maybe it's the temptation to be a little bit self-serving. Maybe it's the temptation to do things the easy way at someone else's expense. Maybe it's the temptation to only consider the short-term benefits and not the long-term consequences. There are temptations all over the place, and they bring forth things in our lives. And often they bring forth things that don't provide good growth. So instead of making this parable about good people and bad people as two different groups, I hear a parable about the complexity of life. How all of our lives are a mixture of the healthy and the frustrating, the fruitful and the undesirable. Because each and every one of our lives is a mixed field. We're a bunch of mixed fields. And the wisdom of the farmer in this parable is true. You don't just randomly start pulling out weeds right away, because honestly, early on, you can't always tell them apart. I wonder if this rings true for anyone, that sometimes we look at our lives and right away we can't tell that a choice we've made, an interaction we've had, or a value we hold, we can't always tell right away that it isn't as healthy as we actually thought it was going to be. It takes a little time. We can't always look at our lives and immediately know the wheat from the weeds, because we're right in the middle of it. We must take the time to look. And even if we can't completely weed out our lives right now, we can pay attention to what does deserve space and growth. We benefit from knowing what is worthy of resources. You see, weeds in our lives, just like in our gardens, the unhealthy, unfruitful parts can start stealing resources from the healthy parts. It happens quickly, just as our strawberries can attest. One day things are going well, and then seemingly overnight something changes and you walk out and there's this new problem growing and you swear it wasn't there yesterday. Things were fine and now things don't look as good as they used to and you don't know what to do about it. But what you don't do is give up on it. For though they might be, the unhealthy parts might be stealing the sun and the water and hiding the hard work that's been brought forth, there is still something good growing there, just like there is always something good growing in each and every one of us. It happens in our gardens just like it happens in our lives. I mean, you look at it and you think to yourself, in my life, I wouldn't have done this if I knew it was going to be unhelpful, but I did it, and then some things took root, and now everything looks a little bit different. So the best we can do is assess and decide how to move forward. And yes, much like the parable, sometimes we need the help of someone on the outside. Did you notice this parable is filled with many players? There's a landowner, there's workers, there's a separate team of people that come in to help do the bundling and the harvesting, all to create a bountiful harvest. I wonder if that isn't something we can do for one another here. What I hear in this parable is not a threat that some people will be cast away while others are gathered in. Instead, I hear a promise that God seeks our lives to be tended to. That God wants to be a part of the process for us to find the good and help it grow while eliminating the parts that are unhealthy in who we are. I hear a story of God's grace and forgiveness that want to work in us and with us as we seek to weed the garden of our lives. I see a God that longs to tend to us if we will be partners by acknowledging the imperfections in our living while being willing to get our hands dirty doing the work of improving. You can't just wish it away. You have to get hands on. And it's not easy work, but it's what lets our lives be fruitful. It lets us bring forth something that can nurture the world. And I think it speaks to God's goodness. You know, I've watched our son Joey sit next to the strawberry plants, especially when we haven't been very good about keeping the garden clean and there's all the weeds mixed in. And I watch him, and he looks there, and he doesn't just give up. He hunts, and he searches, and he moves the leaves, and he pushes the plants and weeds aside. And with great diligence and commitment, he eventually finds a beautiful, ripe, red reward. And as he pulls that strawberry out of that mess, the look on his face is life-giving. And for me, that is the passion and celebration I believe God has for working in our lives. A willingness to sort through with us and figure out and help us see and know the beautiful things being brought forth in our lives that we have to offer the world, even though we can be a bit mixed and messy at times. There's always something there worth tending to. Amen.